Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
Good morning, good morning. That song makes you want to just do this, right? Hey, can we welcome Metro, our second campus? What's up, guys? Merry Christmas. We love you guys. We love you. You're here. Live stream. We love you. We just love the world, yo. We just love the world. Love the world. We're glad you're here. I went to the mall yesterday. Yes, I did. I did. How many of you just hate the mall? Anybody hate the mall? Okay. Yes, you hate the mall. Really? Okay. Okay. How much do you hate them all? Like, for example, like, how many of you have an emotional relationship with Amazon Prime? You personally know the people who drop off packages to you. The other day, I walked into our house, and right at the porch there was a goodie basket set up. Like with candy and snacks and all that. And I was like, it's Halloween. We're starting early. What happened? What's going on? And did you know this is a thing? I walked in. I was like, Ash, there is a basket of goodies. Did someone leave something there for us? I think they were just giving us a gift. She's like, no, I'm leaving it for the UPS, for the Amazon people. I was like, what? That is some good food. No, we are not doing that. And we're going to the mall right now. No, she's got it all set up for them. So they come by, get a snack. I don't even know. All kinds of goodies. Serious. Okay, how many of you love the mall? Anybody lovers of the mall? Okay, a few. Metro, you got lovers of the mall. I was at the mall. I love the mall. My future goal in life is to be a mall walker. Like, that's my goal. I'm going to be like, I'm doing that. I've never seen any Middle Eastern people doing that. But anyways, I'm going to be the first. I do love the mall, though. I really do. I occasionally go to the mall to write my messages. I do. I sit in crowds of people, and I love Christmas because Christmas is one of those weekends or the season that all kinds of people come to the mall. People who I didn't even know lived in this planet. I was like, wow, you're human. Wow, what is awesome. It's great besides the parking, you got to find a parking spot like a couple blocks later away. But when you get to inside the mall, you just see all kinds of interesting humans. You just do. You see all kinds of fashion of all the history of humanity. Everybody. You see also all the seasons. All the seasons are represented. Seriously. I mean, yesterday I was like, there was a person who's walking by, and there's a person behind them as well, you know, but the person in front was like, they believed it was snowing outside because they got full snow gear on the whole thing. I think they had a little thing that they were for snow. I don't even know. It was like a whole thing. And the guy beside them, behind them, was in flip-flops, shorts and socks. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I love it. I just love it. Christmas brings out all kinds of emotion as well, right? Extremes, roller coaster of emotions, all kinds. Opposites as well, like you hate and you love in the same moment, right? You're so stressed out and then you're so at peace. It's magical and it's manic. It's like it's all over the place. It's all over the place. Christmas brings out all kinds of stuff. It brings out all kinds of tradition. You guys have any traditions? You guys do? I was talking to Mariana, who's our Bolivian student, and she's been a part of our lives. And so I said, hey, do you have a Christmas tradition? She grew up Catholic. And she's like, yeah, most people in Bolivia, on Christmas Eve, they make the special soup, and all the family, they have soup and wine. Christmas Eve. And it's like at midnight, they all do that. I was like, wow, are you making this up? She's like, no. And if she was, I don't even know, right? But then I realized I should look up all kinds of other traditions in the world. And I realized, wow, in Venezuela, did you know that they all go roller skating? Yes, I'm not making this up. Roller skating in the town. Like Santa is roller skating, which is efficient, people. It's efficient, right? I don't know if he's going to, it's not helpful for the chimney thing, but it's efficient. They've got all kinds of traditions out there. I mean, there's, but for me, when I got introduced to Christmas, I, again, just so you know, I came from a different background, and so I wasn't used to Christmas. So I didn't know how the Christmas story and the Jesus story mixed. I thought just, you know, from a guy who grew up Muslim walking into this culture and Christianity, I thought it was the same. Like, it's all in the Bible. So I thought Santa was in the Bible, right? And some of you guys are like, he's not? No, he's not. He's not in the Bible. But I get it. I get it. If you're confused right now, I did. I thought that Jesus grew up and became Santa. Like, that's what happened. He stopped working out, and then I thought, and you think I'm joking. I mean, why wouldn't it? Then you have Jesus died on a tree, on a cross, and I thought what? I thought the Christmas tree was connected to that tree. I couldn't figure out who the elf was and why he was on the shelf, but I thought one of the angels, I'm not quite sure. But I really had to like stop and go, oh, this is not the Christmas story. Friends, I gotta tell you, I had a serious like crisis of faith when I realized that December 25th is not Jesus' birthday. And I had a shirt made up, you know, go ahead, it's your birthday, Jesus, you know, like, I thought. See, some of you guys are like, that's what it is. It's not. It's not. I mean, we pick a day and we celebrate it, but it's not really in the scriptures. It's not in the Bible. So what is the Christmas story? What is it, right? Now, in the midst of all the things that comes up in Christmas, how about we just go, okay. Let's celebrate all the crazy stuff that we do. Let's do the traditional stuff. But let's not mix that with the actual point of what this the season is supposed to represent, right? And it represents a deeper story, a bigger story, a more profound story, which is not connected to all the fun, silly, magical things we do. But it's bigger than that. So what I want to do is I want to go to a couple of passages of scriptures, and I just want to answer the question this morning about, hey, what is it really all about? Like, how do we tell people around us that I know why we do what we do and why we cook the food we cook and why we sing the songs we sing, because everybody does that. But what is really the point of this? Because it's so hard to tell. Well, you know, if I talk to people who are from different faiths all the time, and so I could just explain that whole thing. Well, you know, it's more Mary and Joseph and da-da-da-da-da-da, and you tell the whole story. You're like, okay, so what does it have to do with Christmas? And you know, in Islam, which I grew up, the Christmas story is actually in the Quran. So then it gets really super confusing. You know what I'm saying? If you mix that with Western culture and all that. So what is really the point? So I want to do this. I want to remind us what the point is, and then the one response that we should have. So if you have access to scripture or a phone, if you want to look at the screens, we'll put some scriptures for you. I want to read the passage. It's found in Luke chapter 2. And let me just start with this, and I'll back it up and explain the story, give you the context, okay? So this is, it says, during those times, the Roman Emperor Caesar Augustus ordered that the first census be taken throughout his empire. Now, let me just explain the story. This is after Jesus has been, this is after, you know, the conversation that Gabriel and Mary had. I mean, the whole idea of like, hey, telling Mary that Jesus is going to be born, she's going to be, you know, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon her. The whole plan, God's plan, this has already been done. So this is after that. So it goes on, it says, Everyone had to travel to his or her hometown to complete the mandatory census. So Joseph and his fiancée, Mary, left Nazareth, a village in Galilee, and journeyed to their hometown in Judea, a village in Bethlehem, King David's ancient home. They were required to register there since they were both direct descendants of David. which is important, but not for this context right now. It says Mary was pregnant and nearly ready to give birth. I mean, she was about to pop, you know what I'm saying? She was done. She's like, the point, like, if you're, you know, if you've ever had kids, if you've been pregnant, the point of like, I don't want to take any pictures. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not cute. Like, it's like, not, we think you're cute, but you don't think you're, anyway, so it's not even going to go there. Okay. So she was nearly ready to give birth. So when they arrived in Bethlehem, Mary went into labor, and there she gave birth to her firstborn son. After wrapping the newborn baby in strips of cloth, they laid him in a feeding what? Yeah, I can't say that word. Okay, feeding trough. I don't know why there's not an F there, but anyways, since there were no available place in the upper room in the village, which is we know in the room in the inn. Then it says, that night, in a field near Bethlehem, there were shepherds watching over their flocks. Okay, so now we know that now this, the other people are part of the story. And we know this is a part of the Christmas story that we tell. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified, but the angels reassured them, saying this, don't be what? Don't be afraid. Okay, help me out with this phrase, okay? Don't be afraid for what? For I have come to bring you good news. Good news. What's this good news? The most joyful news the world has ever heard. And it is for what? Everyone, everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. I love this translation. It's called the Passion Translation because it gives us so much. It paints a better picture of what that's the weight of the story. But here's what's happening here. So this angel shows up and tells the shepherds, hey, I want to tell you something. I want to make you a part of the story. You've been waiting for a Messiah. You've been waiting for a king. You've been waiting for a rescuer to rescue you. You've been waiting for your Messiah. But God has done something even bigger. God has stepped into human history. He's done something. And now there's a Messiah. There is a Savior, not just your Savior, but a Savior of the world that showed up. That from now on, humans are going to experience a whole new different kind of reality. It's bigger than just the Jewish people. It's bigger than that. He says God is doing something that's so radical. And here's the good news. It is good news because it's for everyone, everywhere. And so as long as we know humanity has been trying to reach the heavens, as long as we know civilization, humans have been trying to connect to the divine. I mean, even if it's in mystical ceremonies, be it different religions, be it psychology, just different ways of trying to connect to the divine. And here, the great news is that God has come to them. God has come here. So no longer do you have to and I have to try to be right with God. God has just made it right, not just for you, not just for the Jewish people, not just for the Gentile people, but for everyone. He's done it for everyone. And this is what great news is all about. So if you were to stop here and go, okay, what is Christmas all about? It's about all the fun stuff that we love to do, and it's great. But really, the point is this. The Christmas story is about the one who became no one to reach everyone. That's pretty much it. It is the good news, which is called the gospel. It's a simple truth that's so profound about why we do what we do, why we're gathered here, why we celebrate, why we spend so much energy and effort, and why we sing all the songs. We do this to remember this one truth, and that is it's about the one who became what? No one to save everyone. Let's say it one more time, both campuses. It's about the one who became no one to save everyone. I mean, if you were going to dumb it down, if you want to find a little bit of simplicity in this season, wouldn't you like that? It's about that. And if you can just stop and acknowledge, hey, this is all of this is about the one. It's about the one who became no one. by that he was born into human experience. The Creator God sent his Son, basically, and I don't even know how to explain that, because the Trinity tries to do a good job, or we try to understand even what that means. But what we do know is that he sent a part of himself to be born, because it's a human experience to be born physically, to do that, to become one of us. And so he began to limit himself. He was the one, but he began to limit himself to the human experience, to human limitations, became one of us to save all of us. And so that's why these angels are pretty excited. They're like, I don't know if you know this, but this is going to change everything. It's going to change the game for all of us. John, one of the disciples, he writes this. Let me read this to you. This is after, you know, the ministry of Jesus, like Jesus has grown up and he's doing all kinds of things and all that. This is years and years later. John writes this. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And he's talking about this Christ figure. He's talking about Jesus. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was what? With God. He's not talking about the Bible. He's talking about God. He said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and help me out with this, and the life, and that life was what? Was what? Say it out loud. Was what? The light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness, what? Has not overcome it. Then he goes on, he says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world, what? Did not recognize him. You see, he was the one who became a no one. He came to which, who was, to that which his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to what? All who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, but what? Born of God. The Word became flesh. The one became a no one. He became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory and the glory of the one, the only Son who came from the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So he came. He was the one who became just like one of us, a no one, to save everyone of us. Man, what does that look like to you? What does that mean to you? I think for some of us, that should just allow us to just give ourselves a break. It would allow us to just stop the religious treadmill that we're on. It should just give us the freedom to just say, okay, I'm done. I can't prove it. I can't prove that I love God. I can't prove it. I have said it before, but religion is basically us trying to prove that we love God. But see, the birth of a son, Jesus is proof that God loves us. And so that's why he's the one. He's the one. So what does that mean to you? For him being the one, it doesn't have to be anything else. It has to be a relationship, a conversation with just the one. And then he became a no one. He humbled himself to be just like us. So he could relate to us. He became one of us. Have you ever had a moment where you're like, man, I think I'm better than this. Anybody? I think I'm better than this. I had this experience. We had a Christmas party, a staff Christmas party, like Friday night or something like that. And we had the staff over and spouses. It was a great old time. And it was great. And Kristen's husband, Peter, who leads our campus, you know, Kristen leads our campus. And Peter's probably in Metro. Hey, man, what's up? Okay. So let me just talk about him. So he's come to our house before and we've had dinner and all that good stuff. Last time he came, he was complaining about my knives. I don't know what knives. First of all, knives are not my thing. It's not a Middle Eastern thing. Anyway, okay. Knives or not. So he was like, so this time he brought his own knives. Who brings his own knives? He brought his own knife. Okay, then he set me up for this. He set me up. He was like, hey man, can you cut the bread? And he's very particular, and he's like the host. I mean, he loves doing that. He's just great. He's like, hey, I need you to cut this. And he was making this board. I can't say it. I'm afraid I'm going to cuss. That's my problem. That's my problem. I don't want to do that. You got family in town, right? I'm going to try it. You shattery board. Whatever. A board with meat and cheese and bread. Olives, jam, whatever. That board. I was responsible for the bread. So I'm cutting the bread, and I get distracted. Number one, he gives me his knife. Okay? What happens? This happens. I don't know if you guys... I'm missing a part of my finger. Not really, but I'm exaggerating. Maybe. I don't know. But it's a bread knife. It's a bread knife. You know what's the problem with a bread knife? It goes in deep. It's not like a samurai knife. No. It's like a... it's getting in there. It's getting in there. And here's the problem with that. There's a point to this story, I think. So here's what's funny about that. Because I cut it, and I was like, are you kidding me right now? I don't do this. I don't cut my... Like, there are people who cut themselves cutting stuff. I am not one of those people. I am one of those people who make fun of people cutting. Like, I make fun of my wife all the time. Ashley, she cuts herself. I'm like, why? Who would do that? Why can you do that? Why would you do that? I mean, come on. Can you not? And I did it. And I went, oh, my goodness. And then she comes up to me. She's like, are you okay? And then she says this. Are you gonna faint? I was like, first of all, I don't need to hear this. Secondly, I need some water and a chair. I need that. Because I do. I'm a sensitive guy. Here's the point. The point is, I had this moment. I was like, I'm better than this. Okay? What's funny about this is, like, there are moments in my life that I have said this for so many other things too. Like, I've done something and I'm like, I'm so much better than this. Why did I do this? I'm so much better than this. I think for so many of us, as you experience yourself experiencing life, right? If you just stop and you have this moment of like, there are things happening, and you'd say something, you do something, and you go, whoa, wow, why, hey. Like, things have come out of you this Christmas, right? That you were surprised about. Okay, they're going to come out of you this Christmas, right? You're going to be like, whoa, hey. And at some point, you're like, I'm better than this. Why does she make me feel like this? I don't need to feel like this. I don't need to act like this. I need to think this way. I'm better than this. You see, the human experience is connected to that. We have moments where we're like, we're better than this, yet we find ourselves doing the things that that seem to tell us that we're really not that. We're not that. And so that's why the Christmas story is so important. Because when we go back to what it is about, it's about the one who became what? Who became no one to what? To save everyone. It means that he's come to save me. Save me from myself. My self-hate, my self-shame. He's come to save me from my selfishness, my self-righteousness, my self-centeredness. He's come to save me from all of that. He's come to save me and set me free from always looking in the mirror and going, you're better than this, but yet you live like this. He set us free from all of that. That's why the angels were like, it's so great news. Not just for you. I know you were looking for your Savior, but God did something even bigger. He sent the Savior of the world. So yes, this Christmas season and the story is great in this culture, in the Western world. But the Christmas message is for all of us, for all the world. Why? Because it's about the what? The one who what? Who became no one to save every one of us. So what's our response? What should be your response? What do we do with this? For some of us, it's a great reminder. I think if you want to get just practical in this moment, I think we have to turn to a passage in Colossians where one writer says this. He understands this truth. He understands what Jesus has done for us, that now he has saved us, that when we believe in him, when we accept him, he's removed this need to prove that we love God. We in relationship with God now have become a new person, a new life. The old path is gone away. So here he writes this. He says, since then, see, he's acknowledging this truth. He says, since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. He's saying, since Christ raised you up, like since Christ took you to a better place, he says, set your hearts on things above. Where Christ is seated in the right hand of God. Set your minds, help me out with this, set your minds on things, what? Above, not on earthly things. For you died and your life, your potential, everything you are and hope to be is now what? It's hidden in Christ, in God. He says, in Christ, that's where your potential is locked up. And here's what I want you to do. Here's the one thing I want you to do, he says, to simplify it. If you understand this truth, if you're sitting in this moment going, I do, here's what I want you to do. I want you to just look up. Don't look around because situations and things in your life have caused you to look around. Don't look ahead because right ahead of you, for some of you, is like not a good experience that you're like not really looking forward to. Don't look at the past because for so many of us, we're just looking at the past. He says, don't look on the side. Don't look in the front or back. No. Look what? Look up. Look up. And so if we were to simplify this, what would it look like for us tonight? I mean, not tonight. Tonight, tomorrow, Christmas Eve, on Christmas Day, what would it look for us to just go, I'm going to look up. It's such a simple truth, but yet it's so hard for so many of us. Because if you stop and just look at yourself and experience yourself when you pray, you don't look up. For some of us, you've never looked up. And for others of us, we haven't looked up in a long, long time. This Christmas, I think what God is saying, hey, I think it's symbolic as the angels come and the shepherds look up. They go, just look up. Look up and see what God has done for you. Look up and know that you're accepted. Look up and know that this is where your heart longs to be. Look up. In the midst of your disappointment, in the midst of your pain, just have the courage to look up. For some of us, looking up is a sign of surrender, surrendering ourselves to the love of God. For others of us, it's looking up for the first time and saying, God, I'm doing this because I don't know what to do. Looking up for you is an act of faith. So this Christmas, God wants you to know this. He wants you to know that he's the one who became no one to save everyone. And all he wants you to do this Christmas is just look up. Let me pray for us. Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for what this season means. We thank you for the life that you have allowed us to live. And God, I thank you that as I'm praying this, there are so many people in this room or at Metro or live stream, wherever they are in their space. God, I pray that they would know that you are there with them. You are there with them. That this great news is for all of us. Not some of us. For all of us. And that you've come to rescue all of us. For you love all of us. So Lord, I pray that if disappointment or guilt or shame has caused us to look down, and just keep our heads down. If life has just beaten us to the point where we're not able even. God, I pray that in this moment, we would look up. we would look up and acknowledge the good news, the most joyful news, that you've come to rescue us, that the Savior has been born to us, that we are no longer the same. We are no longer stuck in the season we're in. We're no longer subject to the pain, the grief. That, Lord God, we don't live a life that's hopeless. We live a life that's full of hope, full of potential, not because of us, because of you. And so, God, in this moment, we just look up to acknowledge that we believe you are the one who became a no one to save everyone. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.